We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast. This is your host, Hatch, with my boy.
Get your popcorn ready.
Yes, sir.
We are in the building. I'm T.O., and we have a very electrifying guest.
We got a true 4-3 in the house. A 4, right? You ain't never in a 4-2, right?
4-2, yeah.
Four, you 4-2?
I'm 4-2. Yeah, I correct that. Yeah, that 4-2. It's like that.
Oh, it's right now? You 4-2 right now?
I'm low 4-3 for sure.
Oh, well, I'm
you
pushing
five,
that too.
You 4-5.
No,
he
sir.
Yeah, there's only 2-4-3. That'll be me and you, DJ.
Well, we starting this show off really, really right then. Because I'm 4-4 at least, and I may be pushing a 4-3. Okay. I may be pushing a 4-3 like given
but
the competition.
I'm always for you. You know, I always show you love. You know, I seen you ran it. I don't know what the time was. I think the time was a little off.
Hey,
I gave you a credit because you the big homie, you the OG, and I'm always on your side.
That's respect
for sure.
Like I told people,
shit different.
No, I get you. Like I told people, unofficially,
right?
Yeah, for sure. 4-3, whatever. But at the end of the day, I'm realistic about mine.
So realistically, you think you can beat me?
Yeah,
realistically, that's what I'm saying. Realistically,
I think I might. I believe
I'm
telling you. I believe I can beat you.
Hey, my money on DJ.
That's
my
competitiveness in you, though, man.
I believe it.
So can I get that bet?
But
get that bet?
No, if he want to race, it's a bet.
I'm betting with DJ.
But if he races, he has to commit.
I don't turn down no smoke. I'm just curious if he wanted to. You know,
this is Long Beach Poly in the house. He ain't turning down no smoke.
Okay,
so there it is, ladies and gentlemen. We got this. This is going to be the Christmas race. It's going to be November, December.
I can't wait. We're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about you.
Yes, sir.
Jack.
So, again, you're not officially retired yet, right?
Not officially
still
retired.
Staying ready.
We still testing the waters. You know, we still staying ready in the gym, you know, on the field, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, it's like I was telling, you know, my brother, it's the first time I've been able to really, like, just take time for myself, my kids, you know, and just really, you know, take time for me.
Be a normal
me,
human.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, take time for me. Because I think, you know, a lot of people don't realize the responsibility of being a professional athlete. You know, even them 2 to 3 months you got off, you still tuned in to say, I can't really let myself slip. Because if I take 3 months off,
right.
You feel what I'm saying? So it's right. Like, you really only taking a month off, if that.
Right. If that.
And depending on how your previous season went, you know, you might feel like, man, forget that. I'm going straight in. And so for me, it's really been able to give my time, you know, just peace, man. And I've been loving and enjoying it, bro.
So obviously you can say in the back end of your career,
right.
You know what I mean? How many more years would you like to play, according to you? Mm-hmm. And then, cause you know, like I said, GM, scouts, owners, they assess you. They're going to try to say, okay, well, he's older. He can't do X, Y, Z, or what have you.
Right.
You were just here in Los Angeles and then you obviously went over to the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a little insight of what really happened or didn't happen, why you couldn't mesh here with the Los Angeles Rams.
Well, I think the biggest thing, you know, me being 35 and, you know, just completing my 14th season last year, in all hindsight, I think, you know, another 2 to 3 years of playing ball and giving my full to the game, just knowing like, all right, this is my last run, let me give it the most I can, because I feel like when you playing and you at your peak and you getting all the success, you know, you enjoying it. You're not really looking at it as like, damn, this might come to an end. Until a snap of finger, you get to that point, it's like, well, let me start considering, like, you know, this might be my last run. So I think this next time, if I do get another opportunity, it'll be really enjoying going to the cities, you know, putting in the work, being around the team, being around the young guys, you know, just really mentoring them and saying, all right, it's not really about me no more. Because when you're in that prime, it's all about you. It's like, I got to get to the best ability to make sure I'm, when I get on that field, I'm at top shot. I mean, top tier shape. So, you know, fast forward what happened in LA, you know, I just kind of felt, when I first came in, it was like a role that, you know, me and McVay came to agreeance on. It's like, you know, this is going to be a role. This is what I expect from you. And, you know, throughout the course of early season, you know, it was like hit and miss. You know what I'm saying? It was like some games I would get some action, some games I wouldn't. And, you know, for me, it was like, I mean, you know, that the year before they had Brandon Cooks and he kind of was the deep threat. He did all the stuff I did. So when I'm coming in, I'm thinking like, you know, I knew they had Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, you know, they – Van Jefferson had a good year his rookie season. So it's not like I'm coming here like, oh, I'm about to be the man. I'm finna start. Right, exactly. Like, I'm about to be the number one. Like, I knew I was going to play a role and play it to my best ability. But through the course, it kind of didn't really, plan out to the role we expected. And, you know, me, a lot of people are like, man, you crazy because you could have still been on the team and won a Super Bowl. It's like, yeah, and Danny, that's right. But I'm a competitor, a top-notch competitor. Right. So for me, I would rather play in the Super Bowl and make an impact and not play in the Super Bowl and win it and just be like, oh, yeah, I was on the team and I got a ring. And like, nah, they really didn't.
Because they really did give you a ring, right?
Yeah, I got a ring
now,
for sure.
What do you feel about that ring?
You know, half-half. Right, I'm bitter, but I do feel like I played a big part in them, you know, winning the Super Bowl because, you know, off season, you know,
you put in the training camp.
The first big game was week three. We played against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They was the reigning Super Bowl champions. I went crazy in that game, and I helped them win. So it's like, even though I didn't play a full season, I still played seven games with them. Mid-season, you know, left at trade deadline went to Oakland. I mean, went to Las Vegas Raiders. But for me, it's bittersweet. But at the end of the day, I'm born and raised here in Los Angeles, California. You know, right where SoFi Stadium is. I grew up playing Pop Warner football there. So that soil, like, and really being a part of it, even though I didn't plan it, I still was a part of it. So, like I said, it's bittersweet.
That's great. Yeah. So, growing up on Crenshaw, right, went to Long Beach Poly High School.
Right.
So, again, growing up in that type of environment, knowing the financial burdens that were going on there, now you get to kind of give that advice to the younger players, right? So, are you in the locker room doing that type of stuff now?
Yeah, for me, man, I look at it as when I came into the NFL, you know, I had – you know, Brian Westbrook, the Brian Dawkins, you know, the Donovan McNabbs.
Asante
Samuels, you know what I'm saying? So for me, when I was first drafted to the Eagles in 2008, you know, I came in with some dogs just like really groomed me, you know what I'm saying? Like where I looked up to. I think the biggest relationship I had was like with Asante Samuels, Brian Dawkins, Brian Westbrook. But for me to be able to understand, like, take care of your money. You know, it's agent fees, it's taxes. Like, it's a lot of things. When I came into the NFL, I didn't really know. You get what I'm saying?
I didn't know about none of this stuff.
So for me, like, it elevated for me to understand that. So now on the flip side, where I'm at, when these young dudes come in here, like, you know, they getting all the big contracts, buying all this jewelry. I'm like, look, homie, before you do anything, put some of that up. Because I didn't put it up early on. So if I could go back in time and do something different, I'm gonna say, put money up. Don't spend all your money. Don't live season to season knowing you finna get whatever else next year. So for me, like, implement that into these young dudes and really seeing that, you know, I hold so much respect in them locker rooms. And them, and so you gotta think, some of these dudes are 20, 21, 23, 22, whatever. When I was in 08, I was. Yeah.
They was 8 years old when you were
in middle school. Yeah. So they like, oh my God, like D Jack, like I remember you and Michael Vick playing, you know what I'm saying?
So for me, like, play with you on Mac.
Video game.
Understanding the influence I hold on these kids, and I ain't gonna call them kids, but these young dudes, it's like, man, get these dudes back the game, man. Cause if I'm an OG and I don't give these young dudes back the game, what does that speak for myself? You know what I'm saying? So I'm very in tune with that, and I love to, you know, see inspiring, like, change. Like, when I'm telling them something, like, damn, that makes sense. That's why you do that. You know what I'm saying? So it's just the information. I think the biggest thing about young African-Americans is we don't have all the information. So once we get the information, depending who it comes from, because betrayal, backstabbing. Like, how do I know that I can trust you? Right. If I give you 10 million, 20, I ain't known you from nowhere. Right. So for me, it's really building rapport before you just come like, hey, T.O., give me a million and let me.
Is it
you
genuine?
Be like, hold on.
Is it authentic? Right. You know what I mean? Do you have an ulterior motive? Exactly. You know, is there another objective as to why you're telling me X, Y, Z? And then, like I said, if you're not educated and if you didn't grow up like a mom and a dad where, you know, obviously financial literacy was being taught, and if you didn't go to school for that, then you don't know. And then if you, like you said, we didn't grow up how you grew up, but obviously growing up in the streets or whatever, it's different.
Yeah,
it's different. Yeah. You made the analogy of, you know, dodging bullets and stuff and getting on the field. Right. You know, you're doing doing the same thing.
Exactly.
You know, so I've, like I said, I commend you on, like I said, understanding. And then you being real, like, yo, I didn't do this. I wasted money.
Don't do it.
I wasted $5-8 million, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Why not share some of that knowledge with these guys to make them make sure that they don't go down the same path?
Yeah, I want you to think about who was the first person you trusted financially, outside of your circle, outside of LA, California. Who's the very first person, like, okay, man, this $1 million, I'm about to write you.
I don't want to necessarily say the name, but it's somebody that I worked with in the financial world. It was like, you know, he was there since high school, had a great relationship with my father. You know, he looked out for me in college, you know, which everybody is, you know, doing. Like, regardless if somebody's going to come in your life and they want to work with you, they're going to have to do something, especially if you're an athlete and you know in a couple of years you're about to get all these millions of dollars. So, you know, it's just what's going on, you know. So we built a relationship with a guy, and it's crazy. I trusted into him. And turned around a couple years later, it's almost like he betrayed, backstabbed, and went against me for somebody else.
I knew it. I knew where he was going with that. I knew where he was going with it.
So, and again, because people.
It'd be your own.
It's in your circle. There's people in your circle.
Sick.
Right. Because people are like, hey, you guys, you athletes, you guys aren't smart with your money. You're supposed to invest. But when we do invest with the people you said invest with, and we still get burnt, now where are those people telling us, well, you should invest?
Right.
You know, because you just can't trust everybody.
Now you have to proceed with caution with any and everybody that comes your way with an idea,
anybody,
or a lucrative deal or anything real estate or anything business. Now you're kind of like, okay, where you probably, if that guy didn't burn you, you would have been more receptive. Now that one of your closest have burned you, you're looking at, I don't know if I should do this.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm scared.
Yeah.
Scared
to death.
I don't
know the results.
Right.
So, dynamic athlete, Long Beach Poly, you coached over there, not when he did, but track star. When did you know that you were that guy? Like I said, I wish I could have been that guy in high school where, okay, you know you have the ability, you have the speed, and you obviously knew you probably had the ability to play at the next level. Did you always want to, always know or want to play in the National Football League?
Yeah, I think for me, growing up, you know, in the household and the family oriented, where my pops, you know, he was from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He wasn't really able to play sports. So, you know, he was in a steel mill working crazy hours. So my dad was like, I'm gonna have kids and I'm pushing my kids to play everything. Cause his dad really didn't really support him playing ball. So like my dad loved sports, you know, he was like a track. He did track, baseball and played basketball. So he didn't really have that the support from his pops that he wanted. So he was like, I'm gonna have kids, and when I had kids, I'm pushing my kids.
Whatever he didn't do, he wanted y'all to do.
Exactly. So for me, like I was raised up under that. You know, my older brother had a chance to, you know, move to California. My dad moved him to California, and then
shout out to Big Bro.
Shout out Big Bro, B Jack, man. And he actually played. He played at Santa Monica City where Chad played, but he was older. But where Chad was the same coach. Coach Taylor was an inspirational coach for. You could ask Chad about him, but he played there, and then he went to San Jose State with one of your quarterbacks, Jeff Garcia. You know what's crazy? Listen at this story. So Jeff Garcia played with my older brother. Fast forward, Jeff Garcia comes back to Philly, and I played with him.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Wow. Wow, that's right. Yeah,
remember he came back. That's crazy.
And I played with him, so it's like, that's funny. Just being able to play with Jeff Garcia, somebody you play with, my brother play with, and I play with it. Just man, it's crazy how
the world comes full circle.
Like you looking tonight. Like now, dudes, I done played with they sons is playing. Like Asante Samuel, his son is a baller.
Playing.
Like
yeah, at the
all these dudes' son is like, man, Antoine Winfield's son. It's like it's crazy, bro, because it's just like it just keep turning, bro. Yeah.
That's funny. Now you got kids?
I do. I got two boys, man.
Is this gonna be the goal? Maybe, like I said, are you gonna push them in the direction or push them away from?
It's crazy how
sports.
My son, my oldest man, is Deshaun Jr. Man, it's crazy.
How old is he?
He's six now. Okay, he's about to be seven in October. But it's crazy how he's been around me and watching me play football, and it's like he's young. So I'm like, I wanted him to play right, but I'm like, his first year, I wanted him to play. Flag, right. So this past offseason, when I haven't been playing, he's been with me a lot. I've been training him, going to the park, and it's like this dude is like on a whole nother level. So it's time to get ready to play football. I'm like, yeah, we're gonna play flag. He's like, no, I want to play tackle.
You want to get tackle? Yeah.
So I take him out. I take him out to the field right here in Crenshaw in the backyard, and it's like. He didn't have gear yet. All the other kids had gear. I'm like, hold on, like I know this is my son. Let me ease him into this shit. Like, I get on the field and all the other kids got gear on. He like, Dad, well, I don't got my gear. I'm like, son, hold on. I'm like, I'm baby speeding.
Baby steps.
Yeah, like I ain't trying to have you go crazy. He get mad at me. We going home. He like, I ain't got my helmet. I like, son, I'm ordering it just a week or two. Just wait. So the next day, he's seeing they going at it. He like, Dad. I'm like, all right, man. So I end up getting him the helmet.
He love it.
And he loving it, bro. It's crazy. I swear, like. Yeah. It's crazy,
it's
bro.
You that DNA.
It is, bro. It's crazy, bro. But I love it, man. So, but I don't wanna force my kids to do nothing they don't wanna do. Right, like I had to tell them because. I caught myself being extra hard on him. I'm like, hold on, he's 6 years old. I gotta remember he's six.
He can't speed cut yet.
Yeah, like I'm like, I'm on him, and it's like I had to catch myself because I'm tripping. But I seen him like he went home because I'm filming everything, and I give it to him on his iPad, and he's going through it, watching everything, and he watching the video, and he just like start breaking down, like crying. He like, I'm not doing what you want me to. I said, son, don't try to impress me.
Right.
Like, you'll get it. Like, just take your time with this. Yeah. But he's like, he wants to impress me so bad. I'm like, son, you don't got to do it if you don't want to do it. But if you're going to do it, I'm going to be on your ass.
Right.
And it's just like, man.
How did that make you feel, though? I mean, like I said, him breaking down.
Yeah.
Him wanting. Yeah, he's seeing you. That's the thing. He's trying to mimic everything that you've done. And now you're telling me he's seeing that he's not doing it. And then
he feel like he let me down.
Right.
And for me, it was a feeling like I ain't really, like it made me feel good, but it made me feel like just kind of chill out on him a little bit too.
Not
like,
yet.
Cause I only know one way. My dad was on my ass every step of the way. And it, like when I was young, I didn't understand. It took me to get older to really understand that. Right. So for me, like it's almost the same thing. I'm reliving everything that my dad was for me. And it's like, I understand, but he don't understand, but he do though. Right. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I'm like, man, let me just take my time with him. But it's a great feeling though, man, for sure.
Cause again, when he's 18, 21, 22, he'll understand it. Cause again, we always go back and forth with how much should the parent push the kid.
Exactly.
And again, I think the kids really, they come out knowing what they want. Now I think it's up to the adult or up to the parent to kind of mold.
The guidance. Yeah, man, put them in the right position. Like if you want to play this, I'm gonna give you all the information.
I'm
gonna train you, I'm gonna give you everything you need. So when it's time to do it, like it's just gonna be like you riding a bike. Like we all learn how to ride a bike, whatever age. But once you learn how to ride that bike, like you ain't gotta do it for 30 years. You get back on the bike, you gonna know how to ride a bike.
Right. In Philly, you're so fast, you made it look easy, right?
Now,
was it playing the position? We know it's hard, it's difficult, right?
For sure.
Was it ever easy to you, though? Did you get to a point like, I know I can just run by this dude at any point, right? Mm-hmm. Then they're going to put the safety over there. Then you got a double coverage, right? When did it get easier? When did the game slow down to you as a professional?
Or has it ever
slowed down? Maybe it has.
Honestly, man, for me, I felt like I've always played bigger than the game.
Okay.
So for me, since I've been young, man, even going back to Pop Warner, I've always played with the older kids.
Wow.
Like when I was 10 years old, I was playing with the 12 and 13 year olds. You get what I'm saying? So it's like for me, every step of the way, I was always advanced. So when it was time for me to go to high school, I was already advanced. That's why I played varsity as a ninth grader at Long Beach Poly. When you had all these Herschel Dennis, Mercedes Lewis, Darnell Beans, the list goes on and on, you know? So for me, when it was time for me to go to college, I was already advanced. Yeah, so I'm as a freshman, I'm starting, I'm coming in, going versus juniors and seniors, is about to go into the league. And then when I came into the NFL, it was like I started right away. We had Reggie Brown, yeah. Kevin Curtis, yep. Hank mm-hmm. Baskett, Jason Avant. When I came in, Coach Reed was like, we drafted you for a reason. We drafted you in the second round. You know, like we gonna put your little ass in there and you gonna work, but we brought you in here for a reason. Mm-hmm. So right away, like I was, you know, into the starting role. Like it wasn't like it was given to me. I had to go work for it. But for me, man, I always felt like my speed was always deceptive. So like,
no, stop. Your speed has never been deceptive, bro.
You know,
bro,
you. So some people didn't see.
It don't. They and it run don't by look him. Like I'm running right fast.
You have a longer gait for a shorter.
Sure. Let me just. I'm gonna go to this story. So, in 2007,
okay,
I got drafted in 08. In 2007, I signed with the Bartlows. Mm-hmm. Jerry Rice was under their agency because when he played for the 49ers, mm-hmm. he had the relationship with the Bartlows. So they started an agency. I ended up signing to their agency. So had me in a great relationship with my agent and they plugged me in with Jerry Rice. So before I even got to the draft, I worked out with Jerry Rice. You know him personally, you got a relationship. You can call him and ask him.
Yeah.
The story I'm telling you is not a fib, it's the truth. I trained with him before my pro day. Mm. Remind you, I grew up loving Randy Moss, Jerry Rice is my all-time top two. You up there, but right, them two is my number all ones, right? So for me, I feel like to have an opportunity to train with Jerry Rice coming out of, like, I was a junior, I left early.
Right.
And I trained with him and he was like, run every route. We ran every route. We had a quarterback there, we ran every route. Mm-hmm. I swear on my everything I love. He said, I only want to talk to you about one route. And it was the speed out, the 5-yard speed out. He was like, slow down, you're running too fast. Mm. He said, once you figure out how to run under control and getting out of your brakes, the NFL can't mess with you. Right. You know, he don't even cuss like that. He said, they ain't gonna be able to mess with you. Something about that conversation, I said, I just trained with the all-time GOAT. And he said, he only wanted to talk to me about one route. Yeah. I said, it's over.
Yeah.
And once I found out that, I went to the NFL and killed it. So like for me, bro, it was like, I honestly, the game was never really too big for me, bro. I always rose. Like every big game, I balled in.
Right.
When the lights on Monday night, Sunday night, Thursday night, them games or a rival team when the Eagles cut me, I'm going back to the plan. Killing them. I'm like, man, you know, I remember what's crazy. My rookie year, you was in Dallas. I think it's, did you do that for the Eagle game? That was a different game. That was the different team.
It might have been a different game.
Okay, but I remember playing Monday night. And when I threw the ball out before I scored, you was on the team. You was on the Dallas team. And I threw it out. That was before my first touchdown. I threw it out the 1-yard line. But, you know, man, them games when the lights is on, bro, I ball, man. That's just what I do.
I feel you. You shine the brightest.
Hey, when y'all got Mike Vick, I thought that was when we could see your speed, though.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have a quarterback that could reach you.
Don't say that. No, some people get sensitive.
You didn't have a
quarterback. We ain't gonna say no names.
I already know the name you're talking about.
Trust me.
Nobody could.
I know.
We went through the same thing in Minnesota because we had Brad Johnson starting Moss's rookie year.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Brad Johnson got hurt week one.
Yeah.
And when Cunningham came in, we were like, thank goodness. Because Brad couldn't reach Randy on the deep ball.
Right.
Cunningham came in throwing launching it.
Exactly.
So when I saw you with Vic, I'm like, that's when I saw DeSean Jackson's speed.
For sure. Yeah. I think it was opposite for me. When I was in San Fran, I had Garcia. He wasn't no pocket pair. He wasn't finna sit back in the pocket, throw to launch the ball 60, 70 yards down the field. That's not his forte.
Right.
I benefit off, you know.
Out the pocket.
You know, play action, this and that and the other, then short passes, intermediate, and then I did the rest, you know what I mean? And it wasn't until, like I said, I got to Philly, obviously stronger arm quarterback with Donovan, is when I'm like, okay, that's when people I think got to see my speed, because I got to stretch the field a little bit.
Sure.
But again, like I said, somebody like you, like I said, speed, deceptive, it's kind of weird saying that. Like I said, you known as, like I said, the speedster, taking the top off of defenses, but I think a lot of people got to see your athletic ability, your change of direction when you had to return the ball.
The return game.
That was when I think everybody really kind of like, okay, this is a dynamic type of guy. Was it like I said, you knew you could run, right, you know what I mean, catch the ball. Was it really that element of the special teams game that really kind of elevated, not your game or your confidence, mm-hmm. but I think opening the eyes to the world, okay, this dude is really special.
Yeah, I think for me, I think the biggest thing was at my pace where I was at, because I'm 5'10", 5'11", at the most, you know what I'm saying? But I play bigger than I already am. So for me, like really getting the respect of, like obviously I'm fast, I could take the top off, but really looking at my routes. Like mm-hmm. I don't think like people really understand the routes that I run. Like I'm not just a deep threat, like I can run other routes and I got good
You're
routes.
Not one dimensional.
Exactly. So for me, like I just always took pride on being able to be something else than just a deep threat. Like you said with you, like screens, you know, taking a slant to the house, 80 yards, you know what I'm saying? Like doing the reverses, like doing the punt return element game. Like there wasn't no one dimensional, like, oh, all he could do is deep threat. Because when I got on the field, you could give me the ball anywhere and I'm gonna do what I do. Like
you're
now, obviously, I ain't 6'3", 6'4", 2", whatever, but hey, if it's time for me to get hit, I'm getting down. I don't care what you want to say. I ain't got your muscles and all this. You got
this decision.
Yeah, like Jerry said, he told me.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
He said, if you want to have longevity in the NFL, don't get hit.
Right.
And once he really told me, that, I'm like, damn, that's how he played 20 years. I played 14. You know, hopefully I go play a few more. But he's like, man, listen, I don't care if people call you soft, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Torrey Holt, the Isaac Bruces.
Yeah, get down.
The Jerry Rices. I mean,
Moss,
you know.
Moss to get down. Moss.
Give our audience and our viewers, especially, there's a lot of dads with kids and even some of the kids that are small in stature, you know what I mean? Obviously they develop late, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They need to get in the weight room. What do you say about those kids or even coaches that say, your kid is too small?
Honestly, man, I'm gonna say it like this. Like my whole life, I've been a small dude. Let's just be real. When I got to the NFL, I was at the combine. I was like 169, 170 soaking wet. For me, I tried to always gain weight. I could never gain weight.
That was me, yeah.
Like protein shakes, 2 and 3 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches
before
I go to sleep.
Bed. Yeah,
like
already.
Bro, like literally my dad used to make shakes out of shakes. Eat this, eat that, bro. I could never gain weight.
Yeah.
So for me, don't get caught up in with it, man. Train, work hard. Like eventually, at the point I'm at, once I got 30, I couldn't lose the weight. Now I didn't want the weight.
Yeah,
now when I started getting 30, it's like the weight staying. I'm like, no, like why did it then come when I was 24, 25 when I wanted it? Now I don't want it. This shit stuck with me.
Right.
So it's like at the end of the day, man, just train, man. And with the weights is cool, but man, calisthenics, man, do body weight. Like don't stunt your growth. Cause if you, all these kids doing this body, all this 13 years old, back hinched over. And
right,
you gonna do it the right way.
Right.
So I just encourage the people at home, like if you train your kids and they're doing weights, make sure they're doing the right technique, man. Cause you know, my stepson just sent me a video, he 13, man. He sent me a video and he in the backyard hunching over. I'm like, what are you doing?
Right.
Like, you gonna hurt yourself.
You gonna hurt yourself.
If you're gonna do it the correct way.
Yeah.
But flexibility is way more important.
Yeah, because I got a friend of mine, you know, his son is a senior in Tennessee, and, you know, some of his, you know, he's been the dad, you know, obviously talking to a lot of coaches, this and that and the other. And, you know, his son is small frame, but he's balling out. And so that's one of the things I think that's discouraging. You know, it can be discouraging for a parent. And then obviously to, you know, you're gonna relay that information to your kids, like, okay, well, your son is too small, or your son is asking you, dad, well, what's going on? I wanna go to this school, I wanna go to this school. Like, what's the feedback? And that's some of the feedback that he's gotten. Like, well, your son is, he's small, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter, but he's balling though.
Exactly.
So I just wanted, like I said, have somebody that is on your, on your level, like I said, small in stature, and I'm sure you've heard it too. Like, you were too small.
Right. Man, but I've been hearing that my whole life. I don't even care about that. I use that as an extra bonus. Like, okay, you think that, all right, I'm gonna show
you this. Let me show you what's up.
Right, right.
So again, let's go back to your rookie year and how you trained, especially like for the Eagles. Like, what was that Eagles training compared like to your 14th year in training with the Rams?
I ain't gonna lie, y'all both play, so y'all gonna lobby for what I'm saying. When I first came to the league, I think they changed the CBA 2010 or 2011, but my first like 2 to 3 years,
right?
Old school, two-a-days.
Practice in the morning,
practice in the morning pass, practice in the afternoon pass. Nowadays, you can play 20 year. I tell kids now all the time, like, you can't hit nobody, and there's certain times ain't no contact. Back then, they ain't care about none of that. And Andy Reid, he gonna work your ass. He gonna take care of you if you're his guy, but you still gonna get it in, though.
You gotta prove it.
One thing about him, like, he was a coach where 3 days on, he'll get a day off, and then you coming back on if you 30 and over. If you're not 30 and over,
but it took me to be there for him to really understand that.
Yeah.
Because I was coming off groin issues, you know, coming from San Francisco, and then when I got in training camp, bro, I almost tore my stuff up again. Like you said, he was hitting. Like, we didn't get
back.
Like, bro, anytime Donovan was in at quarterback, I had to be in there. And bro, he thought I was running off batteries.
Yeah.
Bro, if it was an over route, was
Marty Morning with there the year you was?
Brad Childress was there.
He was there. So you wasn't with Marty Morning.
Well, I was with Marty in San Francisco
when he was younger.
Right.
Yeah.
So it took Burkholder, the trainer,
Rick,
to let him know. Like, look.
It's like a horse.
I'm like, you know, those guys.
That Ferrari. See,
Kentucky
I'm the Ferrari.
Derby.
See, he could be the horse. I'm the Ferrari.
He could be that.
You start up the engine.
But the horse is in the horsepower is from the horse.
Right, exactly.
You're the muscle.
Exactly. So I had to, man, really, literally, man, we had to talk to him. And I'm like, yo, he's about to run me in the ground. It's like, yo, you have a good product. Like, I came over, Philly wanted me. I wanted to be there. We had something special going, but man, those training camp days in Lehigh, almost put me on the shelf.
Yeah. So you know, it's crazy I gotta speak on that, because you said Lehigh. So my rookie year, training camp is in Lehigh, you just heard it. Lehigh is the middle of nowhere. You got mountains, trees, you can't see nothing.
Right.
When I tell you my first training camp, it was practice number one. And I'm sitting there, when the rookies, before y'all came, we had rookies. It was like 3 or 4 receivers, one quarterback, a few players, and then we going versus the defense. I didn't have no sub.
Every play.
I'm going play after play after play, bro. I swear, mid-practice, we ain't even full done. Mid-practice, I'm sitting there, and you could just visualize this. I'm sitting there, all I can see is the mountains and looking at all them trees. I'm like, is this what I want to do?
I'm about to rethink your whole career before you even get started.
I'm like, is this what I want to do?
I'm going to give you my story.
I was like, I don't think I can do this.
Okay, this is my first experience in Lehigh with Coach Reid.
Mm-hmm.
I come from San Francisco, you know, where they take
breeze,
y'all wouldn't know
everything.
That.
Yeah. But then, like I said, during practice, like, we didn't tackle it. I mean, we thudded, this and that and the other.
You didn't go to the ground.
So my first practice, right, okay, we get in our drill, I run a slant. So I run a slant, and you know, I'm finna just turn up field. Bro, they came to me like that. They tackled me, bro. I'm like, yo, I looked around, I said, what are we doing?
Exactly.
Hey, we doing this, that's what we doing.
I'm like, we tackling?
Yes, sir.
It was the mentality, the way of practice was totally different than San Francisco. And I had to think, I'm like, yo, I'm like, they just brought me over here. They want me to help get to the Super Bowl. I'm like,
sure. This ain't gonna do
but
it.
You're risking me getting hurt by live tackling. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, yo, I'm not gonna make it. I'm saying, I'm not gonna make it.
Real quick, so piggyback on what he's saying. My first year, we in training camp. Now, remember, this is when all the vets come in now. Mm-hmm. So I run similar. I run the little pirate route. You know the pirate routes, the 5 yards you come in.
Uh-huh.
Our 5 yard came in. Donovan threw it. I catch it. I look up.
Coming to get
guess
you.
Who did it?
Brian Dawkins.
Trying to kill me. You know, he turned into Weapon X. I caught the ball, I ducked.
I'm on your team.
He barely missed me. He came and rolled over and flipped on me. Bro, I said, he's trying to kill me.
On your team. That's your teammate.
I swear,
people don't
bro.
Like I said, these kids these days, they don't understand.
They couldn't do it. They wouldn't have been able to do it.
How good they have
it's different,
now,
bro.
Now, fast forward to last year. How easy was training camp at the Rams compared to that?
Man, honestly, training camp was, I wouldn't say it was easy, but it was manageable.
Right.
And when I say, like, see, McVay is he's a player coach.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Like, he understands he needs his best to be his best. So if we come holler at him and tell him something, he's going to take it.
He's going to be receptive
and take it back. But we worked. One thing I will say about it, we worked.
When it was time to work.
When it was time to work, we worked. But it wasn't hard. And you got to think, we in L.A., I mean, Irvine or Weather Good. Like, they got it made now, bro. It's different, bro.
So let's go into that. You put in that work. And I think, obviously, we talked about it earlier, you felt that frustration. And I get where you're coming from. Like, man, I'm putting in all this work. Mm-hmm. You know, you're suiting up. I don't know if you were active, inactive. Like, and you're like, okay, I know I may not be your number one, number two guy, but I can produce.
Right.
You know what I mean? But then you ask for a trade. You ask for a trade. You get out of whatever the deadline. You go to the Las Vegas Raiders. Mm-hmm. Season ends there. Rams go to the Super Bowl.
Mm.
They end the Super Bowl. They playoff, the Super Bowl, they win. How does that make you feel? Do you feel like you won the Super Bowl because you was there, or do you not? Like,
let me see about that. I brought something out.
We got proof.
Let me see.
Oh, he's a bro. Oh, he's stunting.
Let me see what it feels like.
They gave you a ring?
You know what, man? I can't
you
see.
Wait a minute.
I'm gonna break it down.
Open the thing. Open them up.
We gonna bust it over, man.
We gonna open
them up. I'm gonna let y'all look at this, but honestly,
we get a close up on this.
It's bittersweet, man. And the reason why I'm gonna tell you that is because
this is crazy.
See that thing that just got stuck.
We had to get some butter. Give me some popcorn. Get some butter on it.
You got it out, but it's bittersweet. But honestly, man, it's a blessing because I understood the work I put into that, man. You know what I'm saying?
Big boy.
Like it mean a little more, man. Because you know what? I could still pull it out if I got to. I can still flex. It's under my belt. It got my name.
So what
do
you say about
number?
The guys like, oh, dude, you didn't even play in the Super Bowl. You quit on the
I
team. what do you say for those? Because you know they're those guys. They're those people out there.
This is my response to that. As far as me and my career, I've always been a guy where I wanted to implement to the bottom line. The bottom line is the W at the end of the day, right? So for me, I know what I can do when I'm on the team. And when I'm on the team and playing at my high level, I'm going to bring it in. Like, I'm playing in the game versus these young dudes. They like, man, I grew up watching. Hey, hold on. Wait till after the game. We ain't talking about that right now. But I'm saying that to say, when I'm gassed up, them like, man, this dude got something in him. You know what I'm saying? So for me, at the end of the day, I didn't play in the Super Bowl, but guess what? I was a part of it.
You know, so you earned
big part.
I earned it.
You earned it.
And I don't never want none that's given.
Like, I don't want it anyway.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying? So for me, it's like, I know my hard work and dedication to put that in, like, shit, you know, it's my name on it.
It's in there forever. Dog, you can't never take that away from
it. Man, look at the details on this, dog. Yo.
They did that. To date, that's the number one ring.
Yeah, that's a big one.
To date, big, juiced up, you know, like.
You take it over to Long Beach Poly yet?
I ain't taking it to Poly yet, but I took it to Crenshaw. You got to lock it in. I took it to Crenshaw.
I'm going
to
let you lock that thing.
You're going to break it. You don't want nothing to happen.
That's a lot of diamonds.
A lot of this young dude. Yeah, I'm
going
to put it on the right hand. But man, for real, man, like, this what it's all about. You know what I'm saying? Even though I didn't play in it, this jury right here, I'll be able to explain this to my kids one day and tell them. Like,
you can't not notice that. Just
I ain't gonna lie. I wore it one time out and I went to the club and I shook a few hands. I said, oh yeah, I can't do that again, bro. Cause I like you gotta shake hands and it's heavy. I feel like I've been lifting weights all day. This thing really heavy, man.
Bro, that thing bright through the thing. My shades, that thing.
But to say what I was gonna say, man, I'll really be able to tell my
you're
kids
a Super Bowl champion.
The story that I was on this team and things didn't work out and you know son like and the way your dad was I could have easily took the route like you know what I don't care I'm gonna just stay on the team and if y'all play me y'all play me but the competitive nature in me I want my kids to understand that so if they ever get to that point they might can do a situation differently,
right?
Yeah,
you get what I'm saying? But people ask me all the time, would I have done a situation different if I could go back in time?
Yeah.
It's like, it's certain things I probably would have,
done differently, but at the end of the day, I'm a competitor.
Right. You'll always be a competitor.
That's me, bro.
Nothing's gonna change.
And there's a story behind the ring.
That's dope right there. Oh, that's crazy.
Shoot. Hey, I'm get your popcorn ready, Deshaun Jackson.
No. Super Bowl champion Deshaun Jackson.
Get your popcorn ready. We appreciate you coming through, fam. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Real talk, my guy. Appreciate it. We're gonna work out too.
Yeah,
y'all come out, man. Yeah, we'll see y'all when I get this 5 racks from T. That's when we gonna see y'all down. Peace.
Yeah, dude.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.